This is HICF Ministries. We pride ourselves as a home away from your home country, a home away from your heavenly home, a home where Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. Yes, it's a home where the living word is shared word for word in truth and in love. You are invited to stay tuned. Listen to the Word of Life brought to you by HICF Ministries. And now, Reverend Dr. John Dickey.
In 2026, you have received two prophetic words. And to remind you, you that have been here last week through the crossover service, we have had these two things. My prophecy is based on the revealed Word of God, and I'm not in denial that God can give you a prophetic word. Amen? Most of the time I go word for word. And the first one that we have received, never forget it, because this is what will help you. This is what will give you the courage and determination that despite there are things happening, you are a crossover believer. There are many crossovers in 2026. They can be like the Red Sea, it can be Jordan, it can be Mara, I don't know. It will be given to you according to your measure. Yours will not be the same with mine, but they have one focus in order to be strong and closer to God. So the reality is the 2026 crossover, whether you are going to crawl, whether you are going to limp, all that you know, your angle, your position, your dogmatic stereotype, all that you know, whatever the barrier, be it a mountain, be it opposition, you're coming through. Somebody say amen. That is the word for you. It's not for me. I have taken mine. I don't know if you have taken that. No matter what the mountain is, no matter how deep the valley is, God is there. And he will see you through. All that you need is to hold on. And that's what leads us to the second prophetic word. Still, you have to learn to read it well. The blah, 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 they shamed me. They isolated me. I failed. I don't know. Yes, they refused me visa. There is no job. The children have forsaken me. There is brokenness in this marriage. There is this disease. It's not healing. This problem is over and over again. I don't know what to do. I come to tell you what? Still. It's not over. There is hope for you. There is hope for you. So we went in to reveal the theme of the year. With its main scripture that we have read through. Remember always, at any crossover, there is no way. Remember who is ahead of you. He is the way maker. Still, there is hope. There is hope. This hope is strong. It's not just a strong optimism. It's not just confidence. It's not just about feeling good. It's not about a good attitude towards life. Your word is my source of my hope. Your word is my source of my hope. Though he slays me, though he kills me, though the cause of death surround me, yet I will hope in him. Yet I will hope in him. Have you been... I don't pray that we be in the foot of Job. Bad news upon bad news was not enough. He lost everything. And then upon his body, one of the greatest distress that destroy hope is pain. Pain. His wife looked at him. You know, you have mercy for her to say, why don't you curse God and die? It's just over. That is why we don't want to deny physical reality. There is pain, there is regrets, there is all manner of things that can pierce your heart. Yet your hope will not be cut off. So I invite you to read through the main scriptures. These are the foundation, the supporting scriptures. There is no denial, tribulations, trials, challenges, Romans 12:12. Yet we are called to rejoice in that hope in spite of the challenges and trials. That is the theme of the year. And I gave you another one for just to make it a sentence with all those scriptures compiled together. Let's read that together, church. 1, 2, 3, go. God's word is my source of hope, such that even if he slays me, yet I will rejoice now in this living hope. We will never be cut off. Amen. Amen. Why this theme? Why this theme? Why was it impressed upon my heart, convicted, and I shared it with the elders that we should bring this? Last week we talked about the reality of Daniel chapter 2, verse 42 to 43. Where it talks, we are in the iron and clay kingdom. You remember the dream of the great statues. The head of gold, the arms of silver at breast, and then the bronze and the iron and clay. We are in the iron and clay kingdom. How does iron mix with clay? It will not hold. We are in the times whereby if you are not built on the solid rock, if the center that holds everything together, Colossians chapter 1 verse 17 says, in him all things hold together, in Christ. Every other alliance, be it political, be it cultural tradition, will be falling apart. Second Timothy chapter 3 says, mark this in the end times. You know what we read last week? Like never before. Parents against children, children against parents. Lovers of self, disrespectful. Lovers of self, don't care about anything. Freedom, everything is relative. Everything is about how I see it. Wickedness will increase. Likewise in Matthew chapter 24 and those things in Revelation. So what will happen to you? What will be your stand? In fact, the word of God says, if those days are not shortened, even the unbelievers will be deceived. So when all these things is coming, it says, look, darkness, thick darkness have come upon the earth. But the light of God rises above you. It shines. There is hope. There is still hope. It talks about the word. That is your source of hope. What is that word? This one? The Bible. The word of God is more than what is here. But we thank God for what is here. Hallelujah. If you, the miracles and the sayings of Jesus will fill the books of this world and never yet contain it. So your word is my source of life. What is this word? What is this word? What was it? What is it? And what shall it continue to be? What is this word that you have to hold on to it? John chapter 1 verse 1 to 3 says, in the beginning was what? the Word, and the Word was with what? God. And the Word was God, and He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were what? Made. Without Him nothing was that has been made. In Him was what? And the life was the light of man. Glory, hallelujah. If you don't have Jesus, you don't have light, and you are in darkness, and there is no hope. But when you have Jesus, even though there is darkness that is so thick in the air, in our lives, in our systems, in our governments, you still have that hope, that life. And the Word of God says in verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we behold His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of what? If there are two words that you want to describe Jesus, these are the two words: grace and truth. They are like a paradox. On one hand is grace. On the other hand is truth. How to balance this? How to balance this truth is one of the things that we require in our lives. You must speak the truth, but speak it in love. It's not only a command, love, 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 excess love. There is the truth, excess truth, right? Amen. Randall wrote a book, Grace and Truth, The Paradox of Grace and Truth. You need the Holy Spirit to balance. It's not only we are good friends, we are bosom friends. No, you must look at him in the face and speak the truth. They may say you are judging, but you are not. You're speaking the truth. Grace and truth. Grace and truth. Hold that very well. Now, there are a few things I want us to understand. Last week, I mentioned about two of them. Let me see. Is it moving? Can you move that slide? Okay. Understanding the fundamentals and certain disclaimers in the theme. General understanding of this. Still, there is hope. There are fundamentals and disclaimers that we must get it right. Now, I jump to the next slide. All right, the first two last week I said, do not deny physical realities, but always let spiritual reality reign over what? Physical reality. I've just said, don't deny there is no pain. Don't deny that person is not going through that trouble. Somebody died, they need to cry. If you cannot say anything, keep quiet and just be there. It's reality. Despite the hope that we have, we are not angels. Don't deny that reality. But don't let that, it says, in fact, do not mourn. In other words, you can mourn, but not as what? That's why when your soul is downcast, you say, come on, my soul, why are you downcast? Nobody encourages you. What do? Encourage yourself. Encourage yourself. Amen. Don't be there pity party. Nobody cares. They are all speaking bad things to me. This and that. Come on. Be a believer, a crossover believer, and speak the word to your soul. Be encouraged. Come on. Be stirred up. The Lord is with you. Number two, we say, whatever you look at speaks back to you. Can you look at your brother? If the brother is speaking back to you, just look at the next person sitting to you. If you you are doing like you have not been doing it. Is it to you? He said, did you see how she looked at me? Huh? In those days in college, there is something that we say, speechless messages between, you know. The words cannot describe you. Just tear. I just felt it. I mean, really. But now, when it comes to the Word of God, you don't know. Whatever you look at speaks back to you. material or immaterial, they have message. Because God's presence is in everything. But not everything is God. There is just one God. Be careful. Because there is another teaching, another theology there. That since God is in this place, we can worship God through this tree. That is a lie from the pit of hell. But most importantly, then you have to understand your disposition will determine what you see, what you hear. When Jesus Christ looked over Jerusalem, the corns are white. You know, he looked at them, he cried. What did he see? Hopelessness. Even though they were just happy jumping. When you move into the city, you look at the crowd at the railway station, at the airport, what touches you? Chinese are too many. That's all. That's all. And you don't even want to mix, go out with them because it's too noisy. That's how you see. That speaks about you. When God saw them, when Jesus saw them, he wept. They cried. It says he groaned in the spirit. Better look again. Look again and see what God is telling you about that sister, about that brother, about that situation. I have emphasized interpretation. Interpretation. Your disposition will determine what you see here, and it will determine your response. A right interpretation at each crossover is essential, and that depends on your what? Disposition. When you come to that point that this is a crossover and it's not possible to cross over, who do you see? The wall? He said, don't tell God your problem, how big your problem is. Tell your problem how what? How big your God is. And that's how David looked at the giant. He said, you. And that's how the Hebrew children look at the fiery furnace. The fiery furnace is something there. But they saw the interpretation and they said, we will not bow. It is not the event, it is what you will do that matters. The event is a separate matter. But I know I told you about Joseph. He said, you know what? You threw me into that pit. It was painful. You took me away from my father. You sold me to a land. You cut off my hope. You did. You intended evil. But he saw the interpretation. It was God sending him. May the Lord give you interpretation. Amen. Of whatever that you are going through. But it depends on your disposition. What is your disposition? Except you have the mindset of Christ. Except you have the word of God in you, your interpretation will be different. I will add to the list today, apart from these two. Let's go to the next one. Right, this one. So I will be adding today, and we've got them about three. I'm laying the fundamentals of this issue of still there. So you must get certain things. You must understand this thing very well. I'm not even talking, where is my bulletin? What is there on your bulletin? We have not even come to this message today, right? Amen. I'm just enjoying it. Are you enjoying it with me? Amen. If you lie before God, God will catch you this afternoon. Everyone born into this world have hope. And exercise hope. But who, what you hope in the short term or long term, tells who you are. That's simple English, right? Can I go to number three? Do you understand this one? Whether you are a believer or unbeliever, but unbelievers have hope. Amen? You as a believer that speaks tongues, you have hope. They have hope as well. But we will know in the short term or long time, what kind of hope is that? It says hope deferred. It means what? Overdue, delayed, tardy, postpone. When you are hoping for something, she's going to appear in 2 minutes. Oh, the scholarship, oh, the result is coming, and it's not coming. And this situation is supposed to be changed. I'm taking this medicine. I'm expecting it to work out something, and it's not coming. You become what? Discouraged. Hope deferred makes the heart what? Sick.
It is 2 o'clock. We are supposed to be here, and you are kicking your feet. It's 20 minutes after the time.
Are you frustrated? Do you think and feel for God sometimes in your life? Do you feel for God? Oh no, he's God. He doesn't care, right? You keep God waiting for choir practice. You keep God waiting. Coming to church, you keep God waiting. You told him you're coming to church, and you keep him waiting. Do you feel for God? You see how painful it is when you are waiting for your lover inside that garden. She didn't come for the first 15 minutes. You start looking at your mobile, and you call. You say, D. And then your mind starts wondering, no, I saw her that day with that boy, you know.
And the enemy will quickly paint pictures for you when it's delayed. But a longing fulfilled is what? A tree of life. Do you long for God? Do you desire? Do you thirst? Are you hungry after him? It says you will be filled. Those that seek me will find me. Hallelujah.
Number 5. It goes back to the issue of the second point, your disposition. It goes back to the issue of what? Your word is my source of hope. The degree by which you claim to know God. Do you remember we have talked and preached about the word know in this place? The degree by which you claim to know God or his will determine your faith, trust, hope in him. Amen? If it is this BSc in God, it will be BSc, it's master's, it's master's, PhD, postmaster's, and whatever it is. Nobody can judge, but we will find out what you are producing. You see, the issue, let me stay on here. The degree by which you claim to know God or his will determine what your faith. What is faith? Faith is trust and obedience in what? In the word of God. And then you will have hope in him. Now, the thing here is, by the time you desire and you make the word of God, his spoken word, as more than precious than silver and gold, sweeter than the honeycombs, is what you desire, is what you thirst, doing his will. I'm not talking about just sitting down 2 hours, 3 hours to read the word of God. It is at those moments of the crossover, the barrier is there and you still stand, like the Hebrew children say, that does not shake us, we will go in. I said, it is in the word no, unless we know who the Lord God Almighty. How can you trust and have faith in something that you don't know? So I emphasize about the word no, and we talked about it. But the truth here is there is another dimension that goes beyond knowing. But because you have laid the foundation, God will lift you above your knowledge of him to another realm of dimension, such that it has become a living thing in your life. Come rain, come sunshine. Your hope is secured in that God.
Nature, an implication of having hope and not having hope. Hallelujah. You have hope. It has its nature. You don't have hope. It has an implication. I will dwell a little bit on this. Did I lose anybody up to this moment? Are you with me? Give somebody a high five and tell them you are awake. Amen. 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 Yes, let's look at this number six. Nature and implication, or characteristics and implication of having hope and not having hope. Not having hope is what? Hopelessness. And life ceases when you don't have hope. What is the meaning of living without hope? It says what? Hope by its nature. Listen very well. Let's do this together. Hope by its nature necessitates a change. Say the word change. Once you have hope, you are talking about a change. Hope by its very nature necessitates a change, and that change will not come without what? Opposition or struggle. When we hope, we accept something to happen. It means we don't accept the current situation or desire improvement of the current situation, or at least sustain the current position without a change, if not possible. So when we hope, we are expecting something to change. Like in a bad situation, we hope it will what? Change for the better. The word change. It means we don't accept the current situation and therefore have to work hard against opposition in order to move to the next thing that will create in physics called a delta change, no matter how small it is. The nature of hope, by its nature, it necessitates what? A change. What about if we are in a good situation? We hope it will last forever. It will last forever. Or even make it better. But we have to work hard to maintain that good status quo. So by its very nature, if you say you are hopeful, you are talking about you are looking forward for a change. Amen. And if you are hopeless, do you look for a change? You don't look for a change. Especially when in the times whereby things are just messed up, difficult to understand what is happening in your life. You have tried your best. All that you are desiring is that hope in you. The enemy have not destroyed certain elements in you when he did what he did. You are looking forward for a change. Is there anybody who doesn't want to change from where you are today? Is there anyone? Can you just lift up? Anybody here? Anybody? You are happy where you are today and you don't want any change. You are happy with your wife. You are happy with your children. You don't want any. The status quo remains the same thing. Is there anybody like that? No, we will fast and pray for that person, right? You didn't come to church, George. Because if you don't, even no matter how spiritual you are, it says what? Be renewed daily. His mercies are new every morning. Why will he bring the mercies every morning? Why not the mercies of yesterday? He wants you to change. And that's why we believe in the miracle hour. A step further, a step forward in your relationship with God is a miracle. It's a miracle. Are you growing in the grace and knowledge of God? Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Right. Now, all those ones are preambles. Now the message begins. Somebody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hey, we will preach. Amen. George is here. All right. What is on your bulletin? Can I have my bulletin? Give me a bulletin. Yeah, can you see kind of a title? Some funny titles. Well, you know, what is it? What is the title there? Who or what is hope? Yeah, subtag. Who or what is hope? Who is hope? What is hope? Let me ask some careless question. What is your hope? Who is your hope? How many types of hopes do you have? How many have worked and how many have not worked? How many types of hope do you have? One or two? How many have worked? Are you in a place of hoping now, or you are hopeless in regards to the situation you are? That's why we're looking at that. Where is hope? Who is hope? That is quite critical. Who or what? These two words are interrogative pronouns. This is the fundamental categorization in language between human subjects and non-human subjects. When you use the word who, you're talking about humanity. When you use what, non-living, right? Who and what are interrogative pronouns, as I've said, used to ask questions about different types of subjects. Who specifically asks about what? People. While what asks about things, objects, actions, or concepts. You know, when you say who, it seems to point to something bigger than you. Or something is kind of proven to be bigger than you. And that's why you say sometimes, who do you think you are? Have you ever asked that question? You don't know who I am? Who do you think you are? Or the parents will come and say, tell me who did this to you? Who? Who is it? Paul was wandering on his donkey. He was just taking a cool ride. You know, he has a good plan. And when he was knocked off, he said, Who are thou, Lord? Pharaoh said, who is this God? It seems to point something bigger. Both who and what demands analysis, knowledge. You cannot, let me put this one here. You can't hope in something or someone that you do not know. Amen? Is there anybody that you can have hope in? Somebody that you don't know? Somebody you don't trust? Somebody you don't have faith? You have confidence? Can you hope in such a person? Look at the child's absolute trust in his parent. Absolute trust. What knowledge does a child have? 9 months in the mother's womb. So much classes and lessons there. Through his toddler age, the mother is there. Through breastfeeding, the mother is there. The child have no option. He knows the mother. Right from the womb. And that's why the Bible says, unless you become like these little ones, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. How close have you been in relationship with the Father, knowing his word? John chapter 2, verse 23, 25. Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many believed in his name, identifying themselves with him, becoming part of his group, all right? After what? After seeing his signs, attesting miracles which he was doing. But Jesus, now listen. But Jesus, for his part, did not entrust himself to them, because he knew. Are we talking about you cannot trust, have faith, hope in somebody that you don't know? He knew all people and understand the superficiality
and fickleness of human what? Nature. Please understand that. Human nature. A fallen nature. You will have mercy on your fellow human being because you have the same nature. If God delivered you, you will have mercy so that he will be delivered. And he did not need anyone to testify concerning man and human nature. For he himself knew what was in man, in their hearts, in the very core of their what? Being.
So it means don't trust a human being. Is that? Hey, there's trouble. Do you have to trust your wife, trust your husband? Am I saying no? Don't go, I'm not in trouble. She's not even looking.
But one thing that you can be sure, Jesus did not go about disparaging people. I don't trust you. I don't trust you. I have no confidence in you. He didn't do that. You keep it within yourself. Faithfully walk with that truth for the glory of God. Waiting for their own turn. If you go ahead telling people, even though it is true, they cannot be trusted, it cuts their heart. Man doesn't like the truth in his face. That's reality. Okay? So be careful. I'll talk more about this point later on. But let's move on. I just want to go back to Genesis. Hope before the fall. Was there hope before the fall? Was there hope before the fall? I don't have any scripture but this. First Corinthians 13:13. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. There was just love in the presence of God. Just love. Love in the presence of God. No need of faith and hoping in the presence of God. You can't hope in something that you have already. Or hope for someone's presence that is already there satisfying all your needs. Isn't that true?
Romans chapter 8 verse 24, I'm interested in what I highlighted there. Who hopes for what they already have? Is there anybody? Sister Hulda, that got married to Frederick, while looking forward for a baby, hoping for a baby to come around. I think 2 days ago I received a text from them. God blessed them with a baby boy. Amen. Will they be hoping for a baby boy called Ezekiel? The baby is in their hands. If you have what you're looking for, will you be hoping for that thing again? Do you have Jesus? Who hopes for what they already have? That's what I'm saying. You can't hope in something that you have already. Or hope for someone's presence that is already there satisfying all your needs. And that is our claim. Just give me Jesus. Just give me Jesus. You take the whole world. Do we sing that song? Yeah, take the whole world, but just what? Come on, say it. Just give me what? So let's hit it here. Let's hit it hard. Who or what is hope? Based on these two words, interrogative pronouns, we have only two types of hope, as well definition of hope. That's it. Who? It is either in a person that you are hoping or in something. Amen? It's simple like that. Two types. And I want to put it under one, human's hope and definition. All right? In two, under that one, there is unbeliever's hope. And there is believer's hope. Amen. And the second one is God's definition, because he's what? He is the very hope and definition of hope. God does not hope in himself. He is the what? The very definition of hope. He is the one with 100% certainty. All right, let me look at it this way. Do you believe in yourself 100% certainty? Who is here? 100% certainty, you know yourself. Is there anyone? Anyone? Come on, look at me. Yourself. You don't believe yourself. So if somebody tells you he doesn't believe you 100%, will you be hurt? Okay. So remember this thing. Let's go to the first two first. Okay, let's do that quickly. We are rounding up. I told you, it's simple. Keep it simple. Human's hope and definition. The unbeliever's hope. There is what I call hopefulness. They are hopeful too. Physical reality, all right? The unbelievers are hopeful. It depends on what they're hoping for. They have certain degree of hopefulness. The unbelievers. And they also experience hopelessness. Hopelessness number one. What do I mean by number one? There is this hopelessness. Have knowledge, but all chances are closed. They also experience it. All right, that's the unbeliever. I'm coming to the believer, the so-called believers, whether we have the same characteristics. You know, I used to tell students, you don't have to be a Christian to pass exams, all right? Yeah, you know them. They don't believe and they are passing, they are having scholarship, and you're coming to church, you don't have scholarship. So number one, hopelessness. There is another hopelessness. Number two, they have no knowledge. The first one, they have knowledge, but they know what is happening, but nothing they can do. The other one, they don't have even knowledge. And they say, I don't know. Don't you say, I don't know sometimes with your spirituality? Let's go to number two, believer's hope. Number one, hopefulness. All right, certain degree of hopefulness. Martha and Mary, example. They believe Jesus. If Jesus comes, he's sick. If you come, they are hopeful. He will come, he will heal him. Amen? That's one category. And now I highlighted something number two, hopefulness. Hope against all hopes. What? Hope against all hope. You prayed for 2 weeks. You fasted so that the situation will be changed, and it did not change. You prayed that this child will be healed. After 2 weeks, the child died. Or your brother died. Hope that is not, we are talking about, there is a kind of a hope with believers that is not tied to any miracle response. It's only tied to God himself. When you say hope in God, it's not tied to any blessing. Are we together? If you don't get it, let's look at what it says in Romans chapter 4 verse 18, taking the example about Abraham. He says, in hope he believed against what? All hope, that he should become the father of many nations, as he had been told, so shall your offspring be. What? This and that. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body that was past the childbearing, own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. hope against, you see, it's past 11th hour. You know, at the 11th hour, there is confusion, there is struggling, you are still. You see, the first hope is you are in the midst of the problem, and yet, I mean, you're kind of hopeful things will change. But this second type of hope is everything is lost, closed, buried, finished. You have to go back to Africa. And yet we are saying, you still hope. You still hope. That's what he did. Not yet the deadness of his sorrow's home. You don't get it? The word of God in God's kingdom enterprise, God honors his word. What you sow is what you reap. If you sow faith, even past 11 hour, God has not forgotten. He knows how to bring that blessing in another dimension in your life. I only pray that you remember, oh, God is coming through for you. He's faithful. You will not lose your blessing. He may not come the way you are, but God will ensure that if you sow faith in him, he will bring it to pass in your life. Galatians chapter 3 verse 6. You know what was there? Paul writing to the Galatians. He said in the first verse, he said, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? All these miracles and blessing, did you receive it through the law? What is wrong with you? And he asks again, does God give you this spirit and work miracles among you by the works of the law or by your believing what you heard? So he says, so also Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as what? Righteousness. Hope beckons righteousness. When you stand and believe God, it's considered equivalent of what? Righteousness. Hope against all hope. Am I talking to somebody? You have come to that point of the crossover. It's all a big mountain. Truly, there is nothing. Nothing you can do. But remember, you have a way maker. He goes through the wall. He doesn't need a key. He is the key. And then what? Let's move on. Number what? Number two. Okay. Hopelessness. Also, believers have this hopelessness. Have knowledge, but all chances are closed. Because after Jesus tarried for 4 days, Lazarus, and she said, if you had been here, give up. Hopelessness. And what the second type of hopelessness is? No knowledge. You don't know what to do. You have no knowledge whether it will work or not. You remember Ezekiel? Will these dry bones work? He said, Lord, I don't know. It's only you. When Peter got cornered by Jesus asking him, Peter, do you love me? I like that. You know, sometimes get your friend and translate the scripture naturally. You know, it's like Peter was so boastful that he will not deny Jesus Christ, and many things happened. And then he met him. After again, he went and said, "Guy, this guy, this Jesus, we don't get him. I'm going back to fishing." And he got some people. Be careful. God will hold you responsible as a leader, right? If you drag people away from the church by your life. So he came again, Jesus was talking to Peter. Peter, do you love me the first time? He said, what is wrong with you now? I still love you. Jesus asked the second time, George, why are you asking this question? What do you have something in mind? Say, Lord, you know this thing. Then he asked him the third time. He got it wrong. He said, no. Now, do you understand what Peter? My own interpretation of that situation, Lord, even myself, I don't know. I don't know whether tomorrow I'll deny you or not.
But you know, this absolute dependence that God knows my in and out, no matter how confident I know, before he found me, he knew me. All the number of days in my life, he has numbered it. He knows which spot will be your last hour. I just remember my brother who had a tragic accident. He was all preparing everything. He was smiling, laughing. And then the time was just ticking. Tick, tick, tick. And it came to that hour. Bam. Peter looked at us. But Peter just got frustrated and said, look, I got it. For me to start saying, yeah. No, by your grace. By your leading. Sometimes we become hopelessness. There's hopelessness because we don't know. How many times I say, I really don't know. I don't know. Really, this matter, I don't know. But there's somebody who knows. The one that called, you say amen.
Let's look at, let me see. Oh, I've got about 5-10 minutes. Somebody say amen. Can somebody say 5 more minutes for you, Pastor? God's definition, you don't want to miss God's definition. He is the very hope and definition of hope with 100% certainty. Amen. He determines the end of the matter from what? The very beginning. So is there anything to hope? 100% certainty. How many people have found out that you can trust yourself 100% certainty? Anybody here? Not even your pastor? Okay. I'm a man of God, you guys. Right. What about your father? Can you trust your father 100%? Your dad. Okay, forget dad. Mom is closer. What about mom? Where's Jessica or Jojo? Trust mommy 100%. Romans chapter 8, verse 24. For in this hope we are. I want to read scripture out of this one. It's clear what is this hope that the Christian believer should understand. It's more than just a strong optimism. It's more than just I have that feeling. You know, I had that peace in my heart. Hey, you really have that peace? Is that the criteria? For in this hope we were saved. So it's a living thing. This hope saves. And Hebrews chapter 6 verse 18 says, to hold fast to the hope set before us. What is the hope set before us? What is it? Jesus. For we have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul. This is spiritual. It's not physical. It's not emotional. It's spiritual. Amen. It's not tied to anything but to a person. The anchor of your soul, a hope that enters what? We enter into the secured inner place. I heard inside the curtain was torn out. Who went in? Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 3, 1b. In this great mercy, in his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into our what? Living hope. It's not a mystic, it's not a mystery, it's not a feeling, it's not strong optimism, it's not confidence, it's not I'm sure. This is tangible. This is a living being. This is the Son of God. He is called the hope of glory. That's why he says in Proverbs, surely there is a future and your hope will not be cut off. Jesus is what? The same. Yesterday, today, and forevermore. Hallelujah.
Anybody that does not have this living hope is what? Hopeless. Anybody that does not have Jesus is what? Hopeless.
And living in hopelessness and in a world of hopelessness. How many people have Jesus? Amen. You're a hopeful person. Amen. But time will tell. Hallelujah. Let me ask you this. Let me ask you. Because there are tough things here. I was saying, what is the meaning of Colossians chapter 3, verse 23? You know that whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Translation, Passion Translation say, put your heart and soul into every activity you do as though you are doing it for the Lord himself and not merely for others. How do you read this? I'm not saying your past understanding is wrong, because the word of God is full of layers. So today I want to just add another. What is the meaning of Colossians 3:23? Put your heart and soul into every activity that you do as unto the Lord. Do not rely on man. Do it heartedly. Because you will be what? Disappointed. If you do it because of man, you will be disappointed. That's why God in his wisdom. What we are trying to say here, absolute trust should only be God in Christ Jesus. Do you get that? Absolute trust. Absolute trust. Be it your father, be it your mother, be it whosoever. There is just one person that you can have 100% certainty, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. If they want to be heard, let them be heard. Absolute trust should only be in God, should be God in Christ Jesus. God, however, disclaimer here. Now listen, God is not against relative trust towards fellow human beings, but cautiously having that trust. There is some level of trust that you need in order to have harmony between your friends, between spouses. But absolute trust is for God. It's for God. God is not against relative trust that we can trust one another. But when you come to 100% certainty, no one, but what? Only God. Again, in life, there are certain things you may consciously trust in yourself and others. But the fact that you have just said you cannot even trust yourself 100%. Is there anybody want to change this? My 100% certainty, you can trust yourself. So what we are saying is true. It's only that we don't like the truth. You see, what God in his wisdom and love, what he was doing when he quoted and advised us, Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, is saving you from brokenness, from disappointment. So that always remember, you do it, present it as unto the Lord. Because if you do it because of human being, certainly they will disappoint you in one way or the other. So God is trying to help us, to save us from what? Brokenness, disappointment, and regrets. God gives warning. This is serious. Let me show you this. We will read through. Warning against hoping in anything or anybody than God in Christ Jesus. I've made clarity, disclaimer, absolute 100% certainty. Set it for God. If you understand your nature, you cannot trust yourself 100% certainty. How can you trust another person 100% certainty? Psalms 118 verse 8 and 9. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in what? Pastor Dickey did not say that, okay? Psalms 146. Put not your trust in what? Nor in the son of what? In whom there is no what?
Help.
Nobody's helping me.
Shut up. You don't know. Truly, you don't know what is help.
He can help you with the things that are perishable, but not things that are eternal. Except for those that are in the household of God. Psalm 62 verse 9. Surely men of low degree are vanity. And men of high degree are a lie. To be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than what? Kai. The psalmist is great. Wow. Lighter than vanity. All these verses are just emphasizing what I'm saying. Absolute 100% certainty is reserved for God. But you can walk with relative, consciously trusting one another for harmony. Because if there is no that trust, how can we relate together? But when it comes to 100%, it is saving you. Because believe you me, the great have fallen. The great have fallen. Jeremiah 1:17-5. This is what the Lord says. Now. This is serious. This is serious. I don't know. Go and read TPT. Go and read Amplified Version. Whatever that you want to read. Curse is a curse. It says, well, this is what the Lord, all God Almighty, that says, cursed is the one who trusts in what? Are we together? Who draws strength from mere what? Flesh. And whose heart turns away from trusting in the Lord 100. When you want to trust a human being 100%, you are turning from the Lord. Warning against hoping in anything or anybody, anything. What is it? Who is it that you hope in? Why should we not hope? These are the things here. Do not trust in a man. Do not trust in a man. Do not put your trust in princes. Whoever, even if it is Microsoft or Bill Gates or Elon that want to, nor in the Son of Man, provided he is born of a woman that was born into this world, no 100%. Even if your father is Maduro. Where he was living was like a military fortress. A fellow president came and picked him out. Put your trust in riches, in princes. You trust your father. It's good to trust your father. That's what we are talking about. There is relative trust. But 100%, he's a man. The worst thing, he loves you, but he died. Finish. Are we together? Because he himself has to die. But there is one who does not die. Why should we? Why you should not hope in anything or anybody than God in Christ Jesus. Let's do that together. You know, remember this story in 2 Chronicles chapter 33. It's an Assyrian king, Sennacherib, something like that. Whether this pronunciation is correct or not. All right. Chapter 32, he's an Assyrian king. He came and touted and laid a siege against Judea. And Judah, and you know, in those days, they just cut off, they just lay a siege until that food finish. So, but I think it's Hezekiah, right? Hezekiah came and talked to his people, battle up. The Lord, he says, and that is how he describes it. He says, with him is an arm of flesh. An army of flesh, no matter the terror. But with us is what? The Lord our God. Is God is for you, who can be against you? To help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. Are they his words? God's word. Isaiah chapter 31, verse 1 and 3. We're talking about why you should not hope in anything. Woe to those who go to Egypt for help. Where is your Egypt today? Who do you turn to? You want to go back to that life? Who rely on what? Horses. Who trust in the multitude of their chariots and in the great strength of their horsemen. But do not look to the Holy One of Israel. Didn't I tell you, if you don't have God in your life, in Christ Jesus, you are hopeless? Or seek to help from the Lord. Verse 3. But the Egyptians are what? Their horses are what? When the Lord stretches out. Now listen to this one. When the Lord stretches out his hand, those who help will stumble. Those who help will stumble. Those who are helped will fall. Whichever way. So you better have your faith in God. All will perish. Everything that is not, hope is not put in God will what? Perish. You mean physical reality? This is a mighty army. Assyrian king was a mighty king. He said, look at you, are trusting your God. Do you know how many nations we have destroyed? The chariots are real. The army was real. But we have a God that is called the Lord God Almighty. That's your hope. That's your hope. So as you leave today, on the question of this title, still there is hope. Who or what is it that you have been trusting, hoping in? Remember, the arm of flesh is sure to fail. Be it whatsoever. It's a fallen humanity that we have acquired. But the hope, Jesus, the living hope, will never fail you. Somebody say amen. Let's bow our heads. Have you been hoping in something? Have you been hoping in somebody? Given that in 100% certainty? Remember today, those hard words in the scripture, cursed is anyone who trusts in man. God is not conflicting. He made the family that children can trust the parents in their early age. And that's why the child will always turn back to his mother. But time is coming that trust and confidence will be put back to God. The parents are there to train. You have come long, very far off, you have come to this moment. We have declared to you a crossover believer. If you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, you are a new creation. And God will lead you. But when you come to every crossover, there are opposition. But always remember, there is still hope, even in death. God did not come to save us from the troubles and trials. He has come to save us from our sin. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. If God allows it, you are equipped for it. And what have you been hoping in? No matter what the situation, remember the types of hope? Hope against all hope. Nothing is changing. Still hope in this living hope that can never be cut off. I encourage you, whatever in life in 2026, the word of God is clear. It says, greater wickedness, trials and temptations like never before. But you are good.
because your hope is in Christ. He is with you. He is in you. Turn to this living hope today. Let it be your anchor, the anchor of your soul.